If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
As we get to the last stretch of our interview, or last stretch of the show, as it is, the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, NERSA, recently approved four new electricity trading licenses, including one for Africa Green Co, which is a company positioned to operate across country borders within the Southern African Power Pool, also known as the SAP. So this SAP, it integrates 12 member countries through the Southern African Development Community. And it's meant to enable regional electricity trading, aiming to boost power accessibility and efficiency across Southern Africa. And to talk to us a little bit more about what this actually entails is Ruse Molesha, who is an energy expert. Ruse, thank you so much for your time. So, NERSA approving this cross-border electricity trading, tell us a little bit more about it.
Good evening to you and to the listeners. So NERSA approved, particularly for Africa Green Co, a trading license, which would enable them to trade electricity across borders. So Africa Green Co is more of an intermediary or an aggregator, if you like, that will buy power from regional producers and then will be able to sell it to South Africa, possibly to industrial users, through bilateral contracts. They could also sell to Eskom, by the way. So they would be enabled then to wield that power through the normal Eskom, the normal national transmission company system or transmission lines, to be able to do that. So it is introducing additional competition in the market. As you would know, that Eskom is at this point is the majority generator of electricity, generating over 95% of electricity in the country, and the rest comes from IPPs and others. So introducing new players, even though particularly this private one that buys from IPPs is still one, it means that you are opening up to other users, and potentially Eskom might see it as losing market share to a certain extent.
So, I mean, I read earlier that Eskom had objected to these new trading licenses, and what they cited was that they cited concerns over potential disruptions in their exclusive distribution areas. From your take and, you know, everything you've read around this whole thing, I mean, are these concerns warranted?
So the regulator explained this and said that Eskom never really objected when they were firstly, when there were submissions of these, and secondly, that this will not interfere with the distribution lines per se, because, I mean, they will be able to transmit the power or distribute it through those lines. So again, it's Eskom potentially seeing the potential for other players to eat into some of that market share, especially when they have bilateral agreements with industrial users. Already Eskom has lost some of their sales. I mean, their sales have been reduced not significantly, but they've been reduced to some extent by people putting solar PV on rooftops, and also some of these industrial users complementing, because they're not replacing the power, because they have significant power needs, but they complement that by having other traders selling to them. So that has an impact potentially on their revenues as you introduce competition in the market. So that's what they are worried about.
What do we understand about this company, Africa Green Co, and their regional expansion here?
So we know that they already are a member of the Southern Africa, one of the few private members of the Southern African Power Pool, because the Southern Power Pool consists of utilities in the region. But they do have, one private entity like this that I'm talking about. And then they also have in Zambia another private transmission company that has joined them. So what we know is that they have the balance sheet and the capability to be able to act as an intermediary to buy from other IPPs and be able to transmit that power to South Africa. So they have the experience, the know-how, the financial means to be able to successfully do what we need to do. We must note, though, that although these things can happen, we still do have regional congestion and infrastructure challenges with respect to how much we can in the short term, at least, where some of these players can play in the market. There is room for them to play, but obviously for a significant capacity to come in the short term, short to medium term, there needs to be a strengthening of infrastructure, obviously, to enable this to happen.
From your point of view, are we seeing some kind of work to address that infrastructure issues that you've just highlighted?
Southern African Power Pool has had a number of projects that were designed for many years, designed to strengthen the grid in the region. One of them was Zizabone, which is Zimbabwe. So it was Zimbabwe, South Africa, Botswana, and Namibia, I think. So there are a number of these projects that they've been working on, making sure that they are commercially feasible, meaning preparing them so that they can attract private sector participation. I haven't seen a lot of traction in that, but obviously the utilities themselves in the region facing challenges. Zambia is facing challenges because of the supply on the supply side. Some of the hydropower, sometimes when there's drought, there are issues. So you find that it's crossing different countries. Zimbabwe also had some constraints in the country. So some of these are country specific, but some of them are regional specific. And in the long run, it would be important for that to happen in order to help interconnect the region and therefore increase a little bit security of supply.
I think oftentimes we talk about, you know, the challenges as it relates to infrastructure, etc. But we also tend to forget maybe one or two, lights at the end of the tunnel or green shoots, so to speak. Is there something that you find encouraging as it relates to, you know, regional energy security in Southern Africa, etc.?
Of course, it's a good thing when we point out about infrastructure constraints. That doesn't mean that nothing can flow through the region. There are regional flows already that are happening. But what we mean is that because there's a short-term goals, there are medium-term goals, there are long-term goals. So in the long term, for us to be interconnected and have more security, we have to work on those. And it's something that will always have to be done. So yes, we do have, for instance, the fact that here in Southern Africa, if you look at Botswana, South Africa, most of us have coal. In Mozambique, we have coal, gas. You find in the north, you have hydropower. So if there was significant infrastructure development and through trade, which does happen, you have a potential to tap into that and to mitigate the risks between the two centers, if I can call it that.
Okay, so as we wrap up the conversation, what are some of the aspects that you're going to be paying attention to as we start seeing a lot of these, regional energy security aspects sort of pick up and this cross-border trading take place?
Yeah, so what is happening is that the South Africa is introducing competition on the generation side to increase the number of players that are in that, in order to relatively reduce the majority or the monopoly that Eskom has on the generation side. So you're going to see a lot of infrastructure development. Eskom was presenting today their transmission development plan that will help enable these generators to be able to wield that power to whoever the clients are. So that's a start of a market that is now liberalized compared to a monopoly market with more players, in line with what is happening internationally. So that's what you can look forward to in the future.
All right, Ruse, thank you so much for your time. That is Ruse Mulesha, who is an energy expert, talking to us about NERSA approving our cross-border electricity trading.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.